Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Kaylin Carr. No confusion this time, Kaylin. You're not on the subway walking around New York City hearing your name on Mondays. It is Wednesday. Just to be clear, it is Wednesday. Are you? And the show's coming out Thursday. So this is all very confusing for everyone. I don't know what to say at this point.
I can't. It's so difficult for me to. I'd be, like you mentioned, anywhere at my house, doing anything, laundry, on the subway, and I hear, Kaylin, what do you think about Minnesota United? And I'll be like, turn, what?
What's going on? Well, you just start talking out loud to yourself, and you're like, why are you talking about Adrian Heath right now?
It's very confusing, very confusing.
Kaylin, my assumption is on those Mondays, you're actually like laying over storyboards as a French film director. I believe that's normally what you spend your time doing, right?
Yeah, just recapping the... I actually like to artistically redraw the matches I've just covered. So it's like, I went through last week was... Yeah.
At a small, intimate cafe with a glass of red wine, of course.
Yeah. I'll
You what type of
YouTube and see those, yeah.
What type of flourish do you put on the bases for home plate at Yankee Stadium?
Well, I was right behind it. I tell you that much. I was right in that. Had a perfect view of anything going deep.
Biggest Yankee fan of the year, Kaylin Carr,
If you're not watching or you're completely confused or somewhere in between, Kaylin is wearing a very, very fashionable, could be French, could be American Adidas jumpsuit
could
here.
Definitely be a British guy who lives in, like that scene in the commercial when Wayne Rooney comes out of the trailer park in the alternate future. You could be one of them.
Wow. Are you saying he looked rough?
Shout out, Wayne. Shout out, Wayne.
Waza. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I do have as an accessory, though, today? Because it is the start of the Open Cup. A little bit.
Incredible, huge flex, tossed up the championship ring. See that coming. Was not pre-planned, was not discussed in the pre-show
meeting. Is that why the outfit was made to match?
It's from the era of the time that I lifted that trophy.
It was before three stripes. It was when the Adidas signal was always the three leaves or whatever those are. All right. U.S. Open Cup does start this week. Great timing. Good transition from Kaylin there. Good luck to everyone trying to make a cup dream come true. Chicago House, that's one of the names that I picked out. There is a team called just Appalachian, which I'm here for that at every moment. El Farolito is
Appalachian,
in
this. USL2 team that has the crazy mascot.
I think so. USL2 is entering in this particular part of the competition. So, the Lansdowne Boys, BHOYS.
I like the El Farolito shout in San Francisco, which is also a restaurant as well.
It is funded. They're the same.
Yeah.
They fund the team. They play in one of the coolest stadiums. Have you played at a Boxar?
They play Kezar?
Kezar?
Yeah. I played some high school playoff matches there.
I think it's the oldest soccer-specific stadium in the country.
Yeah, it's like right in the middle of Haight-Ashbury, which is just a good time in general. A lot of history.
Back in those days, that's when they had the leather balls that were stitched on the outside.
This is before the helmet era, which was like an old school look. And then, anyways, before
just
the helmet.
Just trying to get that in my...
This is heartbreaking. Kaylin, I'm looking back at the old bracket. You guys didn't even beat a non-MLS team on the way to Open Cup. You only played MLS teams.
I know. Yeah, it was disappointing, honestly. But, it was we beat the Galaxy in the final.
You beat DC. You beat the Revs. You beat KC.
Yeah.
This was a who's
look
who.
Look into some of the goal scorers from those those DC matches.
Check the final for me, Dave. What do you see in the final?
I see in the final, I see Nate Jaquia, ultra marathoner showing up. I see Costa Rican international legend Andy Heron. I see Alan Gordon, and
who
I see
leads,
Thiago.
Who leads the tournament in scoring and then doesn't appear in the final?
Not you, because is based on what Wikipedia is telling me, Andy Heron with four goals tied Ben Hollingsworth of Charleston Battery, Randy with an I Patterson of the Carolina Dynamo, and Thomas Boltnar of the Des Moines Menace.
Mm, okay. Yeah, you're probably right. But two in the semi, and I don't start the final. Dave Sarakin, if you're listening, I'm not bitter, but
that's so good.
Struggling too. He's coaching the Puerto Rican national team and hanging out.
I was like, did Kalen get wiped from Wikipedia US Open Cup history? This is criminal.
It's a thin page. There might be inaccuracies.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. Got to figure that out. Anyway, US Open Cup starting this week. That's awesome. MLS Next Pro starting this weekend. They're back. Crew 2 with the star on their jersey. Saw that. That's pretty awesome. Coming to the Garden State to play at Montclair State against Red Bulls 2 on Sunday night. Kickoff's at 7. A little tough for my boys to attend, but we are going to get out there. We might just get a first half in. Might just be a first half moment for us.
Time to get a hot dog.
Yeah, just to acclimate a little bit. You know, it's all about those reps early in the year. We don't got a 90 minutes in us, but we'll try to get 45. So looking forward to that. Check those games out. You can watch those as well, or attend. I would recommend attending. Going to soccer games is always fun. Also, the MLS All-Star Game presented by Target has an opponent, Arsenal, in the nation's capital. I dare not say Premier League winning Arsenal. We don't want to jinx it just yet. That's, I assume, the hope here, but we know Arsenal. Kalen, as a former trialist and or trainee / Nicholas Bentner's best friend for a week, what do you think about Arsenal as the opponent for the MLS All-Stars? We have gone 2 years on Liga MX against MLS, and now we are back to a European team as the opponent.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Apple to option my script on my couple weeks with Nicholas Bentner off the field. I haven't picked it up yet, waiting to hear back. But from the standpoint of the game, I mean, it caught me off guard a little bit. Maybe I'm not as buried as deep down as you guys are into knowing what's coming around the pipe, but I was expecting more Liga MX, especially with the way that things had been going with, honestly, like all the, you know, Leagues Cup and Campeones Cup and CONCACAF Champions League, all that. So I was a little bit surprised, but I would say pleasantly surprised. Of course, Arsenal is my favorite team. I think, you know, also DC, it feels like a good place for that to happen for a number of reasons. I just think, like, with Wayne Rooney being the manager, his history in England feels kind of like a hat tip there. Then on the other side, it also feels like Arsenal to me is like culturally one of the most relevant teams in the world. And especially when you think of like black soccer, and I think in DC has the Chocolate City black soccer history as well too. So feels like a cool place for those things to kind of come together. So I don't know. I mean, overall, sometimes I felt like it got a little stale with the European teams playing against the MLS All-Stars. So I was personally hoping it was going to go back to kind of East versus West, which is something I remember us talking about at the end of the last one. But if you are going to go this route again, to me, this is like, especially with the form that Arsenal's in, if they do, knock on wood, go all the way. I mean, it, and then I think, yeah, Matt Turner's video of the promo of it, I think also won me over. That was good stuff.
I am heartbroken because right as Weeby started to intro Kalen into talking about this, I was like, he's wearing the warm-up because he's got his Arsenal training top on underneath this jacket. Kalen went with full, all the props. And then Kalen started talking.
He's like, well, I'm not as deep as you guys into this.
About to reveal a jersey.
I'm not as deep into this, but bop, 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 bop. Yeah. U.S. Open Cup champion ring. Wow. Got my Arsenal kit underneath here.
Man, Kalen, you really just broke my heart.
It's tough. Yeah. All right, guys.
It's really tough. If you remember 2016, the MLS All-Stars also played against Arsenal. And I remember that one. I mean, you know, for me, the big one was Arsene Wenger. Like, there were stars on that Arsenal team, but to me, Arsene Wenger was the star. Watching him walk around, like, hold court was just, I mean, like, it sounds crazy to say, but sort of electrifying in a way of just like being around that presence, and you could feel his presence. I don't think we got the best lineup, let's say, from Arsenal in that match. I would like to see a very strong lineup.
Score though, and Gio Dos Santos jumped on his shoulders.
Yes, that did happen.
That was cool. And then all of those players got on a plane across the street and left in the middle of the game.
Yes, if I remember correctly. Do you remember who scored for Arsenal in that match? Two players, 2-1 Arsenal win, a very dramatic 87th.
Oh, I think I was there. I think it was Joel Campbell.
Oh, Joel Campbell.
Wow.
Penalty in the 11th minute. Let's no more hints, go. Anders. I see you in the chat, Anders. CONCACAF legend. I don't want to say that gave it away, but it probably gave it away. Can you get who had the winner? 87th minute. I'll give you a hint.
Who like played in a Premier League game ever?
Yeah, not a ton. Not a ton, okay. But yeah.
Matthew Flamini.
He was now a multi-billionaire, reportedly. But nice. He was, I believe he was in this team. He came off the bench. Also, Gideon Zalalem came off the bench in the 67th minute. I'll just give it to you. Chuba Akpom was the winning score. So hopefully we see a good lineup.
Cool. I'm glad we did that. That was
the time. Oh, boy.
We expected more. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had all
really
the...
built that one up to sort of fall off a cliff there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with you in the sense of DC, I think, being a really good town to do like an Arsenal. You see always the numbers for like soccer consumption and soccer fandom, and DC is always very, very high on that list. So one thing I will say about the All-Star game and the week is that I think it's more about the week personally than it is the game itself. The game is sort of the culmination of all the celebrations, all the gatherings, all the moments, all the connections before that. So, I can't do the trivia now, Anders. Can't do it now.
Chuba Akpom on loan right now at Pauk, which is a MLS feeder club. So I look forward to his future playing first for the Columbus Crew and then spending some time with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds and Memphis 901 FC.
He can ask Kieran Gibbs, also a starter in that game, about his experience.
Shout out to Bill Hamid, who just signed for them.
Yeah,
there we go.
Shout out to Bill. And now we're back to DC. And this is why we're number one.
Full circle. By the way, coming up here in a little bit, I should have promoted this earlier. Dante Venzer is going to be with us to talk about his first couple weeks in New York/New Jersey with the Red Bulls and what to make of his first goal and his future with the club. So we'll got that coming up. We're going to talk through MLS Match Day 5. There are a lot of absences, of course, for the international break. We will dig into that here in just a second, tell you about the games we're watching. We'll do our first ever Where in the World is Kalen Carr this weekend. So that should be fun. You all right?
We'll work on it.
Okay. There's a big Carmen Sandiego guy back in the day, so I just couldn't help myself on that one. And we will hit some mail, including some Colorado Rapids fans who are going through it. And our thoughts go out to Jack Price, who has a torn Achilles and is out long-term, had just returned. Before we dig into the international break thoughts, shout out to Charlotte. Got this this crown jewel jersey going. We're still waiting for the crown jewel performance from Charlotte this year, but at least they've got a win. And of course, you saw David on Monday wearing the DC jersey with the beautiful, beautiful buds from the nation's capital. Nice. So go check those out at MLSsoccer.com, MLSstore.com.
The Ted Lasso guys were in DC and they got the bloom. Look at how epic that is. I'm going the wrong way.
Have you been out? Is it blooming at Brooklyn Botanical yet, Dave? Do you know?
The orchid show is up.
Orchid.
Okay. Yeah. Is up. There is a little bit of cherry blossom. I have been in Washington area during the cherry blossoms. They're amazing. I actually used to have a cherry tree in our front yard in the home I grew up in as a really young kid that I used to climb. So I feel very strongly about the beauty that is the cherry blossoms. And full circle, I believe they were a gift from Japan. Shout out to Japan for winning the World Baseball Classic yesterday.
I hope you're enjoying the journey that you're on with us this Thursday morning.
We're going to see if we can say everything in one show.
Tell us, anybody have any childhood anecdotes that they would like to share before we continue, or should we get to it? Okay, let's get to it. Corey Schrepnell hit us up, or Schrepnell hit us up from Minnesota. Corey, congratulations on the Euro trip that you've been on. It's looked wonderful from afar. Corey has helped us in the past with our engineering and our audio on this very podcast, as he is a producer slash bigwig for The Daily, a New York Times podcast that's ranked second overall in the worldwide rankings behind Extra Time. So thank you, Corey. I'm a little punchy. He says, I'd love to hear the panel's thoughts on the feasibility of MLS continuing to play through international breaks. Feel like we're approaching a tipping point where more players will be called up and the league matches may suffer. There are a lot of call-ups. I'm not going to deny that. If you go to MLSsoccer.com, there is a running list that you can check out on the front page of all the different call-ups. I do not have an exact number. I could not count these off the top of my head, but we are definitely in the dozens category, I would say, of call-ups. And that obviously is a very good thing when it comes to quality and the players being signed, is that there are just a ton of internationals in this league, and they're not what it used to be, guys. I mean, there used to be a time where we get a good international call-ups from around CONCACAF in particular, but maybe you wouldn't have such a robust group of players outside of that. And now you're looking at, you know, CONMEBOL has a whole squad of guys. I mean, UEFA, between Greece and Finland and Poland and a number of other places, Armenia even with Lucas Arayan, like Iceland, they're just players from everywhere. They're scattered all across the world. We have a world champion in Thiago Almada, who I would say is the best player in our league right now, but Dave would say Lucho Costa is. We won't have to reheat that debate until later. I mean, look, there, with more quality becomes more sort of issues like this, and MLS has done this for a long time, has played through windows. They're doing it again this year, and you have to look at the schedule, and you know, people like Corey are asking, okay, well, why? Well, the why is that it's a pretty packed schedule. We know that between MLS, between Open Cup, between CONCACAF Champions League, of course, the playoffs later in the year, Leagues Cup is new. That's a big complicating factor. This in particular, this window, every single team is playing. It is not like that in the other scheduled windows. And you probably had to choose one, you know, realistically, to get all the games in. You probably had to choose one. This was the one they chose, and I understand why. It's early in the season. But teams have the option. Teams are consulted on this. Teams can sort of give their preferences as to when they would like to not have games, et cetera. And they base that obviously on player availability, but also on the type of crowds that they might get as well, and other considerations that I'm not party to. I just know they have the option. So, you know, June 17th, that FIFA weekend, that's optional. There are six games. They will play through. We will play through the entire Gold Cup this summer. Sometimes there have been breaks for the group stage or for like 10 days or so, just to sort of like get through that opening salvo. The September 9th FIFA weekend, there are five games. One of those is the rescheduled Galaxy St. Louis game. There are no games right now in the October window, and obviously no games in the November window, because that's between the group stage and the knockout rounds. So yeah, Dave, is it when you look at this list, when you preview games, and when you think about what you're going to see on the field, is it a little frustrating? Sure, it is. I want to see all the stars every game, but I think I'm also cognizant of the fact that there's some trickle down here. And if you were going to choose one, I think I would probably choose this one. And I also think if you're a team, you knew this was coming. You had an opportunity in preseason in the first couple weeks of the season to maybe get an advantage here, where other teams are going to lose players, and figure out a way to deal with it. And hopefully you're building enough depth to do it as is. So
even across the league, it's a FIFA international date. It's not, you know, Honduras is playing Costa Rica and only people who have those players are in trouble, or only players are getting pulled from one club. Like, we sort of went through the list before we started. Philadelphia and Orlando are both losing a number of influential players. I think Philadelphia has done a good job of building depth as well as cohesion in their system to be able to cover for a moment like this. So while you'll see some weaknesses, I think you'll see some strengths, or at least credentials of why teams will be competitive. It's also always been a really great opportunity to see young players. Like, this is a chance where we have these guys where you think they could play a factor, but where are they going to get minutes? When are they going to get minutes? And a lot of times this is your opportunity to step up. And if you do, you can stay in the lineup. Like, you can keep getting opportunities. So that's really a big part that comes out of weekends like this, is, you know, who's the next Obed Vargas? who takes over unexpectedly and now is a force in their lineup. And I think we're going to see a bunch of that across the league.
Some of the Champions League teams, the teams that are in CONCACAF Champions League, I think you can see it going both ways. In the one sense, it's worse for them because they've had a string of matches already and are going into more. But then it also feels like they've maybe focused more on building that depth and making sure that they're ready to sustain it and probably have some players that have gotten more minutes at this point in the season that are going to be stepping into meaningful matches. I think some ways it's going to reveal some of the teams that haven't built out that depth and haven't kind of had that strength to be able to put players in. And then part of it is just like, I wonder if it's going to change the way, the type of profile of player recruitment and who you pick, because you see more and more you have to play through these windows. If you're making a signing, is that a part of it where you're thinking, okay, well, I'm automatically going to lose this guy for X amount of games because of this? Or, but then at the same time, you have to go out and find players, maybe who are, you want to find players from who have international experience. And so that's the tricky part for me. I always was like, okay, well, who are some of the teams that, and I think we're going to get to this, is like, who are some of the teams that I think might be able to withstand this or are built maybe a little bit differently? And I think like, sometimes I look at NYCFC or I see some teams that have international players, but you know, you have a Brazilian guy like Talis Magno is probably not going to play for Brazil national team. Is that, are those good places to look? But then I look at Atlanta United and I'm like, buying, if you told me in MLS that you're buying a 20-year-old, or I think he's 21 now, like Argentine, you, who plays in the middle of the pitch, I would say, okay, yeah, he's probably going to be available. You're going to, he's going to be safe. He's going to be there for you on the weekend. And then now it's like, okay, actually that's not true either. So that one just like blows my mind with Almada being with the World Cup team and being called up to Argentina. Cause I would have thought like, you know, you're pretty safe if you make a signing like that. And now you're seeing just the different type of profile that are being attracted to coming and playing here.
And the other part of that from a competitive standpoint this weekend is, like you said, the profile of player and what you want. It's like DC signs Christian Benteke. He's not going anywhere, but like Michael Boxall is, because he plays for New Zealand. And that's where you get into the like, where are players playing and what are they connected to? And in the end, it's 2 or 3 weeks. You know, it's maybe 2 matches. It's maybe 3 matches. Like, I don't think you're playing yourself around it. And I will say, if we are having this conversation, one of the reasons you do want to sign internationals is it is another opportunity for them to gain value to potentially sell. And that's part of why clubs are interested in signing players who play internationally, because that's another platform for them to go out, show well outside of Major League Soccer, and potentially you have sell on, which we think will happen with Thiago Almada. We think it's probably connected to some of the Facundo Torres rumors that we're hearing with Arsenal or whoever else it is that he's part of the Uruguay national team. I think it's something that you see when, you know, years ago, Giancarlo Gonzalez went to a World Cup and played well for Costa Rica. We see it with Chemyshaw Frankowski, who got sold to Ligue 1 from Chicago while struggling there, but played for Poland at a high level. So that's the other half of things with the international side of having players is, if MLS is going to become a selling league, that's a place for them to show themselves.
And this is year one of the schedule with Leagues Cup. Like, you just, you got to say that as well.
We need to get a drop like the coach from the NCAA who screams when his players are coming out of the locker room with Leagues Cup just being screamed.
I could do it. I could be in my, the same vein as City.
Yeah.
Just Leagues Cup. We've gotten complaints about City. I might just have to go back to City. St. Louis City. Which team has hurt the most? How about that? What do you think, Dave?
Which team has hurt the most single-handedly?
Minnesota says they're missing 7 starters. I'm just going to throw that out there. Dane St. Clair, Robin Lud, Boxall, Arriaga, Bongi, Lawrence, Rosales, and then obviously Reynoso is probably never coming back, it feels like, at this point.
I'm going to go in a different direction because I think there are teams who are missing less players, but equally, if not more important. So I have LAFC. Dennis Buanga, obviously an MVP, probably candidate right now already. Jose Cifuentes, Diego Palacios. Those are 3 starters for them, and they face off, we'll talk about it in a little bit, in the Dallas team that's not hurt, and then Columbus. Milos Deganek going to Australia. Eloy Room and Lucas Zelarayán. Zelarayán central to everything they do. I think Room, they have Schulte, who they like, but Miloš Degenek was the only really starting center back coming into the season on this team, and now he's not there. So that'll be an interesting one.
Also, Cucho Hernandez, by the way, hurt. This is painful for all of us, and especially Crew fans, to hear. But Cucho Hernandez is hurt, and he is out 3 to 5 weeks, according to Wilfred Nancy. So,
Christian is Superman or he's Batman?
Who?
Christian Ramirez.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
He's Superman.
I was so focused on on the Kevin Molino injury that I was like, yeah, how does this relate to Hot Boy?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still thinking about Tommy Scoops and who he drafted on our team. I'm like, where are we at here? Scoops, I got to check in with him to see where we're at.
So when are we redoing the draft? Like, when do we get a redraft shot at Van Zier?
I'm happy with this pick. So I'm not turning against him already. He got me some good picks.
I'm just saying we got to keep adding as players come into this league. No,
that's after the summer transfer window, Dave. Come on, okay. Try to keep up here.
Okay,
you're two. We don't even know the rules.
If I got Scoops on my team around the transfer window, I'm in good shape.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna, Kalen. Who do you think? Who's the most hurt? Who has to replace the most?
There's a couple, but right now I mentioned it before, but I'm going to look to Atlanta United, partly because I think about not just volume. And I think, Minnesota has a ton of volume missing. That one jumps off the page for sure. And I think Adrian Heath had some comments that I saw recently come out about that. But I think Atlanta United, as far as the importance of the player, so they have, for me, the MVP right now, Thiago Almada, who's going to be gone, Miles Robinson, Giakoumakis. Like, so you're seeing players at crucial positions at different parts of the pitch. So I think about the form that they've been in, how good they've been, and then also how important it is where, you know, we'll get a chance to see Caleb Wiley, but he's been at the benefit of being around a player like this, with Almada unlocking him. So I think Atlanta United jumps out for me as a big hole as far as the profile and positions that they're going to be missing.
Hey, good news for you, Kalen. Dante Van Zier, he's on your team. Drafted him. So Dave doesn't have the opportunity to go get him later on. Now we need Brandon Vasquez.
I didn't get to talk to him, but you know, I hope you guys kept his confidence going.
Yeah, we built him up. Right. You're good to go. Yeah,
Anders is putting the draft back in, and Doyle picked Joseph Martinez, Sergio Cordova, designated player for Vancouver, who I believe it just came out that he's out for 5 to 8 weeks.
A long-term period, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And Giacomo Veroni, who does not start right now for the Revs, who Bruce has said it'll be there. It's just going to take time.
He needs time. And then Duncan McGuire, just to put the cherry on top of that Golden Boot Sunday. That's some good stuff. Good stuff right there. Okay. I'm going to go with Austin FC / the Colorado Rapids. We'll just throw them together. They're playing each other this weekend. They're both sort of in desperate straits. I would say that, I don't know, who do you think who needs this more? Right? I mean, like the Rapids... The Rapids are all the way at the bottom.
It's Colorado. Everything with one goal this season. They need to win a game.
Austin are still in a playoff spot. They'd even be a playoff spot before the expansion. They're sixth in the West. And they're freaking out. But Austin are missing Owen Wolf, who all of a sudden, you know, after some of the, you know, question marks week match day one of like, oh, he's replacing the captain. Like, is this a good thing? Is sort of irreplaceable for Austin. And then Vincent in on the back line. So now it's Alex Ring and who? And then on the other side,
it could be Alexander Radovanovic.
Radovanovic. Well done. Yes. Alexander Radovanovic. A new center back, left-sided center back, Serbian from the Belgian league. Excuse me.
No, why do you say the league? Say the club.
we should ask Dante about this.
Yeah, we should have.
Kortrijk.
Yeah, Kortrijk. Probably. Who knows? Like
that. Yeah, and then look, Diego Rubio and Darren Yappe gone for a Rapids team that hasn't scored, and now they have both of their forwards gone. I expect, hope, yearn for the Kevin Cabral number nine experiment to come to Q2 Stadium this weekend. But that's tough, man. Like for Austin, those might be their two most irreplaceable players outside Driussi, who's another one of those guys you guys talked about. Okay, like you make a star signing, he's not going to go international duty. Driussi's one of those guys. But like, you know, if it was Giassi, they would have Urruti to step in. If it was a winger, like they at least have some depth at the wing position. They don't really have central midfield depth, and they don't really have center back depth. And I refuse to have this conversation with you again, Dave, if you have the inkling of bringing this back up.
Well, they have Alexander Radonovic.
So in a clear sign of in a clear sign of the lack of depth, they've signed a center back. I just want to.
No, the question was not, do they have depth currently? The question was, were they built any different than other MLS teams? You really want to do this again?
No, I don't. That's why I'm not saying anything. So I don't say anything. Anyway, that's going to be a tough sledding for both those teams.
Kalen looking around.
It's just like the other Kalen, just like the other Kalen on Monday, who was like, oh my God, get me out of here. This is crazy. Scott Hammond hit us up and said, guys, you are killing me. Actually, he directed this to me, so I shouldn't generalize. You're killing me, Andrew Wiebe. Not a single word about the Rapids as you ramble on about Minnesota. Not a mention of the Rapids scoring their first goal or the Jack Price injury. Oh yeah, they did score a goal. Sorry, we said they hadn't scored.
No, I said they had not.
Oh, until last
week. This weekend.
You talk about all the other struggling teams, but you won't say anything about the Rapids. So terrible news on the Jack Price injury. We've already sort of said it here. It's a torn Achilles. You know, it was one of those that you might have guessed given the non-contact nature and how he had to be carried off. But just awful, awful news for a player who is absolutely, utterly everything, just as crucial as one singular player can be to a club and their results. That is Jack Price. You know, if you go back and look at some of the numbers over the years, it truly is the Jack Price is in and they're pretty good, or Jack Price is out and they're less than a point per game show. So Emilio Gonzalez over at the Rapids, he's in communications with the club, put these point totals together since Jack Price arrived in 2018. In the regular season, if Jack Price appears, it's 1.49 points per game. Without Jack Price appearing, it's 0.91. All comps, so that's Open Cup, CCL, etc., playoffs, with Jack, 1.42. Without Jack, 0.86. I mean, we're talking about, you know, look, there's a lot of other factors. You can't just say this is singularly Jack Price, but with and without Jack Price, it's half a point per game. And it doesn't take a genius to do the math over the course of a 34-game season. Like 17 points is a pretty significant amount. It's devastating. Kalen, like losing a guy like this, losing the set piece service, losing the leadership, losing the way he can calm a game down and get on the ball and you know, sort of direct pieces around him. It really is a difficult blow.
Yeah, he's been huge for them. And when you think about all the changes that have kind of happened around this club and the players that have kind of cycled in and out, whether it was Kellen Acosta or Mark Anthony Kaye or whoever else was moving in and out of this lineup, he's been the kind of one constant and held down the center of the pitch. And as you mentioned, I think his set piece underrated as his set piece delivery. So just very consistent, able to kind of always serve in a good ball. And, you know, when I just look at this Rapids team overall, that we looked at the international window and I was like, oh, Darren Yappe's leaving for the U20 national team. That's going to hurt. And I'm like, wait a minute. Do you have to release for the U20s? And I was looking across the league and I'm more worried about, you know, guys going to their full national teams. And I'm more concerned about one of their most dangerous goal threats going to his youth national team. And so that shows me a little bit of where this team is at, where it's constructed. They're going to need Cabral to step in or Lewis to bring in some of that attacking threat that we've seen from Yappe. But in times it's been too much on the young man's shoulders as far as, hey, be our consistent goal threat, stretch the field, get him behind, create something out of nothing. And I think it's just, it hasn't been good so far to start the season, and to have already be at where they are at right now and then have to lose a figure like Price. Not just what he means on the field, but I think to help guide this team through these tough moments. It's a big blow at a bad time early in the season.
And not to be
conversations. He hasn't scored a goal yet either. Like, we're like lamenting Yappy being gone. He hasn't gotten his first goal. And that alone, I know Diego Rubio has been hurt and is starting to come back. And, oh, by the way, has also gone on international duty, but that's part of the conversation too.
So I would say there right now, based off the first five games, it feels like their most irreplaceable player is Diego Rubio. I thought the last 30 minutes of the previous game against Minnesota when he came on was the best they looked. Yappy went out wide, but the losing goal was off a free kick where Ralph Priso tackles Fragapane from behind because he's out of position, gets beat, and then doesn't assess the danger of the moment very well. That leads to the free kick, flicked on, Minnesota goes up 2-1. That was Priso coming in for Jack Price. So in that microcosm, that 7 minutes shows you some of what they lose with Jack Price. And I do think an element of their big offseason acquisition was Connor Ronan was the partnership between him and Price. And the way I think Price can help you build out and Ronan can find other spots higher up the field, that probably goes away now. They're probably building out through Connor Ronan for large stretches of games, and you have a Brian Acosta or a Ralph Friso sort of sitting off trying to draw a center mid, but doesn't give you the same attacking threat, doesn't give you the same danger in possession. So it'll be tough. They're better than they were last year when they lost Jack Price, because, again, that time they played Brian Acosta with Colin Warner, like they were playing two D-mids. Now they have Ronan, so they have a little bit more. I think Max has shown he's grown physically. He can sort of handle the battles in midfield. So you have that option to throw out there for the Rapids. But, you know, Jack Price is their leading assist man for a reason. Like, they're losing goals. They're losing that experience. And I'm not an expert, but at 30 and Achilles, a guy who's been hurt a lot over the last few years, like, you worry for his career as well.
There's more to dive into. We have some emails from Rapids fans. Before we do that, I just want to, you know, sort of, we're going to change directions a little bit here, because this has been a tough conversation about the Rapids. There's a reason why we haven't had it. You know, early in the season, it's easy to over-index on, hey, what's the fun thing to talk about? Like, oh my God, Thiago Almada. Oh my God, St. Louis. Like, those are the things that are naturally going to be things off the top of a show. We're like, hey, what's the best thing you saw? You know, Rapids fans know this as well as we do. The Rapids are not going to make it in that early conversation when we hit that. But one of the best things I did see that didn't get talked about from last week is something that happened off the field. I saw the Rapids holding a jersey. I didn't know what it meant. Had a last name on it. Dobrzynski. I can't sound things out, and it's a sad state of affairs. But Joan Dobrzynski is being honored with that jersey. And I, at the time, I wondered, what is this? I have no idea. Who are they honoring? What are they doing? We got a DM from Mark Goodman. Most of you probably know him, if you know him, as Rapids Rabbi. Amazing work on Holding the High Line, the best way to stay up to date with what's going on with the Rapids. And he said, hey, guys, just give this a read. It's something important for the club. And it is important. That jersey, her name, her presence, sort of omnipresent with the Rapids. She's one of those fans I would call a fixture fan. Somebody who's part of the fabric of the club, somebody that when the players walk out there for training multiple times a week is sitting in a lawn chair perched above the training ground saying hi, waving, just watching, just cherishing that part of her life, cherishing her fandom, her connection to the club, her connection to the players. She is currently in the hospital. She's fighting cancer. It is hard. That is always hard. And I give a ton of credit to the Rapids and the community around the team, obviously, but the Rapids, the club, for honoring her devotion to them and to what they're doing and to the players and to the club. They honored her obviously with the jersey, but they also sent an iPad to her with MLS season pass so she could watch if she wanted to. On that iPad, they recorded a bunch of get well messages from all the players. Mark described that in his piece, which I recommend you go read, as an incredibly lovely gesture. I can't really find the words myself for what that might mean to Joan and her loved ones, but we'd like to do the same as the Rapids here. To Joan, thank you for loving the game, your club, and this league so deeply that you made it a core part of your life many times a week, you know, being there, being present. Thanks for showing us that this is more than, you know, a ball and 22 players and us rambling on about whatever it is that's going on the field. It's community, and may it ever be so. So I remember a fan in Kansas City when I first started covering that club more, you know, at this point, 15 years ago, Deanna Weymouth, who some might remember, she was that person for the then Wizards and then Sporting Kansas City. She was the person when I went to training. Many times it would be me and her at training, and she's in a folding chair watching the guys bringing baked goods. You know, that was her. That was where she put a ton of time and effort and energy and love. And I feel the same thing about what's happened to Joan. It made me think of Deanna, and to all the fans that feel it that deeply, shout out to you and shout out to Joan, who's battling this right now on the field. I'm sure she would be disappointed as she suffered through some things, but there's some fans that are really having a tough time here. William Stouffer hit us up, said Rapids for the spoon. As a fan, all I can realistically ask for is relevancy. At this point, the PIDs are completely irrelevant. On the field, he says he thinks Ronan and Maxu are going to be solid. Those will work out, but against Minnesota on Saturday, that's the best they looked, and there's still no bite going forward. Joe Morin went back and re-listened to the interview that got Anthony Hudson fired.
Before you do Anthony Hudson, because that's another world, let me just throw in, because we talked about this a couple times, so maybe the names weren't that big, but the Rapids brought in anywhere from 5 to 7 starters this offseason. Like, that's a massive overhaul. The goalkeeper that they expect a lot from, not here. You know, Rubio's hurt, who I said is a massive part of what they want to do. You still have Cabral that you're trying to figure out, while Cole Bassett knows this club and knows this league, has not played in it in what, 2 years? A full year? Whatever it's been for him. So there is one going to take some time. As I said, I think Rubio is the most important part of this team, and he's been missing. So William, I wouldn't go all the way there yet. Just hang on a bit. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah. No, for sure. Joe Morin, because he's a true sicko, he went back and re-listened to the interview that got Anthony Hudson fired, he said. And then he listened to the episode where we talked to Porg Smith afterwards, and Porg said that there'd be key signings coming. And Joe says, here we are in 2023, and the Rapids have not won a knockout game under Frazier or really been all that good beside the flash in the pan that was 2021. Now, 2021 was very good. Like, they were a darling of the league in 2021 and at the end of 2020 as well. So there have been moments here. But some people are hitting us up and saying spoon already for the Rapids, Kalen. Like, what is, how do you get out of this situation if you're the Rapids?
Oh, man. Why are you giving me this one? I mean, I'll just be honest. I don't think the roster is good enough. I think that's kind of what I was hinting at before. And you'd have to hope that they go out, and I think it was good to see Cole Bassett get back going. I don't think it's going to take him long to adjust. I think if you look across the league, players who have gone and come back, I just did the New York games, Sands, Rodriguez. Integration comes back a lot quicker for guys that understand the environment. That's good. I think that for me, the hole is the number six position. We hit it on it already with Price, and this show talks a lot about sixes in the league, and you go through it, and I think for good reason. You take the six like that out of any team and you say, okay, no Chara, Sao Paulo. We saw just last weekend, I was watching back the St. Louis game against San Jose, and like when Guerrero goes out, it just becomes one-way traffic, right? And so it's really difficult to lose that position on top of things. But yeah, I think for, you know, I believe in Robin Frazier. I feel like he's done a lot with maybe not the most resources. Maybe that'll be our segue to our our conversation over the Anthony Hudson. And some, it was just when the guy was saying he's going back to listen to that, blew my mind that they're going back that far to watch. But I would bank on him to get the best out of this group. I just worry that they don't have enough pieces right now. And maybe some guys will emerge. It's still early days in the season. Some of these signings will take some time, follow the David Goss theorem, maybe quicker than those in the past. But it looks rough right now. And, you know, that's where I look at some of the hope of the young players. That's why I circled on Yappy, because just as the young guys getting experience, to me, we haven't. Yeah, you mentioned he hasn't been his best yet, but he's been threatening. You can see there's something there. And at times we've seen the Rapids like playing younger guys and getting the best out of them and giving them an opportunity with Bassett and some of Vines and some of these guys who've come through in the past. And you'd hope you'd maybe discover a few more of those moving forward.
It's tough. You know, I think Kellen Acosta moving on. That's a tough moment for them. A guy that I think probably hoping to build around. And Mark Anthony Kay, it felt like that was the right move to make for the Rapids, to bring Ralph Parisso in and to get younger and to get some more resources. But that hasn't yet really paid off. I think one of the issues for them outside of striker is just like wing play. You know, Jonathan Lewis, ton of talent. You know, Kevin Cabral, ton of talent. Michael Barrios, you know, probably not a guy you want to be an every game starter at this point. Sam Nicholson hasn't really looked up to like the same level he had the first time around with the club. And then Brian Galvan is coming back from a huge injury last year. So then, I mean, you're putting it into a committee sort of function, and you know, everybody's kind of looking around hoping who's going to be the guy to deliver. And that's also difficult. And then you have two strikers out for international duty. One of them's been injured. The other one's 18 years old. Yeah, it's tough. A lot of things need to go right. And right now they're not going right. Any other final thoughts here, Dave? Because this is why we haven't really had the conversation. It's tough.
Yeah, but as I said, I also think it's developing. So I think, I mean, SKC have scored, what, one goal this season? They don't have a win.
Deflection, yeah.
You know, Houston finally got their win this weekend. Montreal hadn't scored a goal. They finally won. Like, we are still early. Schedules still dictate some of what's happened, less for the Rapids. They've had home games. And as I said, I do think they have pieces that could work. What they do as a club is acquire a bunch of rolls of the dice and hope some hit. You just named all those wingers. Like, that's where the Rapids sit. They take risks. They go out and they take Kevin Cabral for less than the Galaxy do, because if he hits, it's worth it for them, but that's not a guarantee. That's what they did with Austin Trusty. We thought Austin Trusty was the future. Now all of a sudden, Mark McKenzie's starting. He can't find a game in Philly. Colorado says, we're going to bring him in, but not just him. They bring in Lawless Abubakar as well at the same time. They bring in Abubakar Keita after that. They bring in Gustavo Vallecilla. That's four rolls of the dice. You're not going to hit on all of them, and they kind of know that. The question is if they can hit on enough of them and it can all come together at the right time. It did in 2021. It did in 2016 as well, in a different style, in a different way. It's unfortunate for your fan base because it's not consistent, where you can guarantee that when the next guy leaves that you can replace them. But I do think there are attributes in a lot of these players that they can use to win games in MLS.
I don't disagree with you. I think the Kansas City example, for one, is a little tough because, you know, Kansas City, we've talked talent perspective on the attacking side, has three designated players. I know they're injured, but who presumably will be coming back. Yeah,
would you take any of those three over Diego Rubio? Straight up. Honder says yes. Russell.
Yeah, Johnny is the one.
Well, that's a six-year difference, right?
Yeah.
Probably no, six, four if you're
not
if
six you... years. Diego Rubio's 28. Now we're doing an age game here. Diego Rubio's 29.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Well, Kansas City definitely chose Russell, but we'll see how that works out for both sides. Any more thoughts, Rapid fans? Let us know. I hope it gets better. And our thoughts go out to Joan and her family as well. MLS match day 5. Where in the world is Kalen Carr this weekend? I won't do it again for your sake, Kalen. Connor hit us up and said, how has Kalen enjoyed calling games alongside the legend Cal Williams? And is he excited to be at Allianz Field this weekend? How's the color commentary life gone?
Good. First, thanks to Connor for reaching out. Connor actually made a cameo on the movement shoot in St. Paul. Yeah, at the drag show.
I think it's coming full circle here.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a real deep cut, which is available now on Apple TV Season Pass. Check it out. Working with Cal has been great. He's a top pro, so experienced. Consummate professional. The way he researches, even down to like the pronunciations of everybody's name in their native language. I've like really enjoyed kind of diving deep on each team that we've worked on, which has been the big shift for me, is like the amount of preparation and the deep research and access that we've gotten through this Apple TV thing has been really cool. Just sitting down, talking to Wayne Rooney, talking to Nick Cushing, going through lineups, going deep into the academies up in New England, seeing their youth development system, you know, going deep on Noel Buck, some of these sort of stories that we cover here. And I think a lot of these names that our listeners will be aware of, but getting a little bit closer to it has been great. And then the energy for me of just being back in a stadium is something that I have really enjoyed. I think we all have spent a lot of times looking at each other. I know pretty soon we'll be in the studio back together again, which is going to, I think, make the energy of the show even better. But I've enjoyed just being at the stadium. I'm going to Minnesota United training on Friday morning. So just being like more connected to the game again has been awesome. And yeah, working with Callum has been awesome. He's a awesome guy, recently moved to Brooklyn. So we've even been able to do some research, grabbing a couple pints here and having fun. So you know, I'm excited for us to go back to Minnesota, where I know those fans have loved his commentary for years. And to be a part of it is going to be awesome.
Minnesota undefeated. We'll talk about them more in just a second. But our games to watch this match day. Dave, kick us off.
I'm going to start in LA. LAFC hosting FC Dallas. This is an FC Dallas team that I'm really high on. I think week one, they lost to Minnesota. They couldn't really create chances. They didn't find their feet. They've swapped in Edwin Cerrillo into the lineup, and the ball's moved a lot smoother for them, obviously using all the knowledge Kalen Carr passed on to him from years ago to help enhance them. They've brought Nkosi Tafara into the team. When they played Giovanni Jesus at right back, they've been much more dangerous down that side. That's just managing a young player into this league. So that's coming and coming. And then this weekend, we saw Jesus Jimenez finally make his debut for FC Dallas. When in, Jesus Ferreira scored a goal. And we've talked a lot about what's his best position. I think one of his strengths is he's good in all of them. And I think he enjoys playing all of them. And so now you have a ton of options based on matchup, based on health, based on international, whatever it is. I think FC Dallas, outside of center back, is one of the deeper teams in Major League Soccer. And so I think they should be a Supporter Shield conversation team. The way you do that is you go to LA and you beat LAFC. And LAFC aren't perfect right now. They're missing Buonga. They're missing Cifuentes. They're missing Palacios. They had to play CCL, then go up to Seattle, then come home. Like, great teams win games like this. Great. And I'm not saying get a result on the road. I'm saying go and win and take 3 points. Dictate your style. Like, be the aggressor in this game. I think Dallas is capable of it.
What teams are benefiting most? You listed LAFC as a team that's like potentially hurt the most by this. I mean, Buonga, Palacios, and obviously Sifu. What teams are benefiting the most, do you think, from these international departures, Dave? And Dallas, I would certainly say, is one of them.
Yeah, I think Dallas goes high on that list. As I said, you know, they're missing, I think, what, two players?
Two players, USU 20 and USU 19. Yeah. Neither guy, I mean, Antonio Carrera and Nolan Norris, like, those guys are not going to be guys that you see in the game, most likely.
But yeah, I would say KC is another big one. KC only losing Tsonis at home against Seattle. Seattle is down Raul Reed Diaz, Alex Roldan, Obed Vargas, Nuhu. So you're talking multiple starters. You're talking about starters. Reed Baker Whiting's also with the youth national team. We think he's the backup right back to Alex Roldan. So now you have a full position where we don't know who plays there for a KC team that's not losing much. San Jose was the other one that stood out for me. They're losing Jimiro Montero and Trauco, which is tough, but Toronto's coming across the continent and they're pretty much losing their entire midfield in Osorio, Kay, Richie Larea, and Ayo Akinola. So this is a Toronto team with no depth.
I like the San Jose shout. I mean, they had a tough one in St. Louis, but returning home and then, yeah, losing basically the entire Canada men's national team coming out. Richie Larea has been so good getting forward. And then, yeah, Kay, Osorio. It felt like things kind of started to click for Toronto at home there. And so now they have to go on the road. And I think especially with those, that front three of San Jose, you get Espinoza going, you get Cade Cowell with no Richie Larea, I think would have matched up quite well and then might open up some space for Obobese. So I could see them benefiting from this.
I'm going to go with Real Salt Lake, St. Louis City, SC, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. RSL's had 2 weeks to prep. So you would think they would be pretty well prepared for what St. Louis wants to do, which is to somehow win the ball in that area above the Bucks, whether it is to give it to you and have you turn it over there, which is working for them, or put you under pressure and take it from you there. They want to win and start possessions in advantageous spots and then be direct. So far, 12 points. The story is well documented. First expansion team to do that, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to see how RSL deals with this. And they're losing some players that are important to them. I think Brian Ojeda is probably the most important one, the Paraguay international. But Diego Luna made an impact for them recently, has been sort of growing in stature within the team. Didn't know how Pablo Mastroeni would use him over time. And then Rubio Rubin is out, though I don't think he would have been first choice necessarily up top as well. But I'm watching this one. You've got to keep your eye on St. Louis. Like, can their fairy tale continue? On their side, I don't think at the start of the season, many people knew who Kyle Hebert was. And yet, four games in, we're like, oh my gosh, Kyle Hebert is gone. What a huge blow for them at center back. And this is because, obviously, Tim Parker has been out and Joachim Nielsen is out as well. Looks like probably Josh Yarrow is going to come in. So,
you know another... who told me about Lucas Bartlett?
Yeah, Lucas Bartlett, like, wasn't even signed when we were talking about this. He wasn't even on trial yet. I mean, they've dealt with
legend
with everything that's kind of come their way and done it with a smile and found a way to figure it out and came back from some deficits. So we'll see if they can go to RSL at altitude and do it yet again. I'll ask you guys this. Which of the five undefeated teams, St. Louis, Atlanta, Cincinnati, LAFC, and Minnesota, will stay undefeated the longest? So this weekend, St. Louis at RSL, Atlanta at Columbus, Cincinnati at Nashville, LAFC are going to host Dallas, and Minnesota will host Vancouver. Who do you see dropping off this weekend from that list?
You just asked two questions in the exact
I'm trying to simplify it for you.
Okay, I'm going to take the first question.
Okay.
I'm going to say Cincinnati remains undefeated the longest. They have a pretty robust squad this weekend. At Nashville, Miami at home, Philly at home, at St. Louis, Portland. So that's the one I'm going
to
take.
Okay, that's a good answer. I like that answer. And Kaylin, you chose Nashville, Cincinnati as your game to watch. So that is a not a perfect transition, but we're getting through this one.
Yeah, that's my match to watch. I mean, I think Lucho Acosta came off the bench in the last one. Against Chicago, you saw what he can do.
MVP-esque performance off the bench, I would argue. Like, so valuable.
Let's be honest. I mean, we should all respect to Hani, who I believe I still have as my keeper. I do remember that. Tom can mess up the rest of my lineup, but I kept him from last year. But, yeah, I mean, he makes a big difference coming in. It should be available from the start. It's funny, they're going to lose their goal scorer, Moreno, I believe, for – international duty. So
he's their goal scorer now.
He's their goal scorer.
Yeah,
I'm the captain. Yeah, he. But otherwise, they should be in pretty good shape. It's funny they haven't really clicked yet, attacking wise, and you still see where Cincinnati is at. Brandon Vasquez, had another opportunity in this last one, didn't take it well, and just doesn't quite look like he's, it feels like just one will hit and this floodgates will potentially open. So, but they're much stronger defensively than they were last year. I know Mascara made a mistake, but he has been good coming in. I just think one full year of Miazga and Wobodo is going to immediately make a difference. Shout out to Ray Gattis though, has stepped in and done quite well these past few matches. So, and then, yeah, on the other side, I'm, always high on Nashville, and I think Schaffelberg, at the end of last year, I remember the last match against the Galaxy on the road where it was just so uninspiring and nothing was happening. And he came on and changed the game. And I was thinking then, oh, this guy should be starting. Like, he fits well with what they do. And now we see what he's been able to do with a full run of games and how well he complements Hani Mukhtar and being able to get forward. And so some pretty dangerous two teams. I think this, if it wasn't calling a game, I would definitely keep my eye on this one. And Cincy and Nashville is, I think it's going to be a good one.
It is going to be a good one. Also, I enjoyed the Ray Gattis reference in there because we do have Dituk. I don't know. That's the Dutch, for Dante Van Zaire.
Good job.
Like that. He was tucking in. We forgot to ask him about it, but I'm sure we'll find out over the course of the year. He also had an interesting moment with us, let's say, Dave, about his 2V checkmark celebration from the other day. You'll have to listen to find out. A little interesting dude. Take a listen. Okay, very happy to have a new designated player forward in Major League Soccer with us, Dante Evanze. Did I get the Dante? Did I do it? Is that good enough?
It was not bad. We need some work, but it was not bad.
Okay, we'll offline. We'll sit down. We'll get this right. But here with the New York Red Bulls, got his first goal in match day 4 against the Crew, a winner. Dante, welcome to Extra Time, man.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Let's start with your choice of locality. As I just moved back to the area, you signed with the Red Bulls. You're coming over. The training ground is in New Jersey, but you're 24 years old. 24-year-old people like to live in the city. What did you choose? Where did you go with?
I choose to live just next to the city, in Jersey City. Yeah, some of my teammates, they live there. It's not too far away from the stadium. Also not too far away, actually, from the training facilities. And you're still close to the city, so it's nice to have a little bit everything around me. And also when family and friends are visiting, they don't need to travel too far away to go to the city. So I think it's a nice location. I heard some good things about it, and yeah, that's why.
So you're gonna wear out the PATH train is what we're saying, going across the river.
Indeed. Yeah, I take like this ferry, I think, and in 20 minutes I'm across the river, so very easy.
Are you ready to be steeped in New Jersey culture, though? Do you know about New Jersey? Like,
Not too much, actually. So okay. Still a lot to explore and to learn, I think.
We'll have to get Tom to get him a jacket.
Maybe. Exactly. A swishy jacket, get the mustache, mozzarella, things of that nature. Tell us what it's like to settle here. I mean, we always hear about sort of the adaptation process for players and the challenges that that come with that, whether it be finding housing or finding transportation. What has the club done for you? What did you need when you're like, okay, I'm moving to New Jersey, I'm coming to MLS. What's on your checklist? What do you have done? Do you feel like it's home yet?
Yeah, actually, bit by bit, yes. So I just moved in a week ago, and I only been here now for a month, maybe a little bit longer than a month. So it actually went quite fast. And I came here with not too much, let's say, things in my head. Just came here to play the game, and that's it. But my father was here the first week. He helped me with some things, and also the club, they helped me with all these things, just to get a debit card, to get a social number, to get my apartment, to get a car, all these things besides the game. So actually for me it was not too much trouble in my head to get all these things. I got a lot of people that helped me, so grateful for that. And now I think bit by bit it's getting a little bit easier for me. I got settled in, can have some more minutes, and yeah, I think it's going the right way, the good way.
So family obviously helps. You said your dad was here. We hear that your sister plays soccer as well. Red Bulls share Red Bull Arena with Gotham FC of NWSL. Should we start the campaign to sign your sister and get the full Van Zier family? Sorry, Van Zier family in the building?
Yeah, we can try, of course. She, the thing in Belgium is soccer is not that big for women, but it's growing. It's actually growing a lot as well. So I don't know, maybe we have to invite her next time in the podcast to ask her. But yeah, I think she in Belgium, she has a good way to possibility to develop. And you never know. I think the USA they have a big national team, women's team. So maybe we'll see her in the future in New York as well.
Is she a goal scorer, and is the family goal celebration the double V's here? Like, tell us about, you got your first goal, so you've repaid the Red Bulls for all the work settling you. Tell me about the celebration. Was that two V's? Is that what we're going with here?
No, actually not. I don't like to talk about it. It's a personal thing, and maybe later on in the season, maybe at the end of the season, if I score enough goals, we can go more in depth about it.
Oh,
It's more a personal thing. So,
okay.
But yeah, indeed, maybe the goal is a first thank you to all the guys that helped me here in Red Bull.
Well, then you have to promise us we get the exclusive. You can't tell anyone else first. When you're ready to talk about it, you come back on. Deal?
When I'm ready, for sure, for sure.
All right, let's talk about yourself coming here and making this decision. You said you wanted to focus on the game, and it's not just about moving to the city. Why Red Bulls? Why Major League Soccer? Why move for you right now at 24 in Belgium, playing at Union? Like, this is not a move we see quite often. What's the thought process for you?
No, indeed. And I'm also not a normal guy, I think. So maybe that's why.
Okay.
For most of the people, indeed, especially in Europe, it's an odd move. It's a strange move, but I think for sure in my former club, it was really good. I had a lot of success with the team, individual, and yeah, still also when I left the club, we had also the competition, the European League and the Cup, where we still were trying to get one of these. So it was indeed maybe a strange moment for me to leave, but the thing was, what was important for me when the Red Bulls came, the competition, they start in February, March. So I wanted to be in pre-season with them to start my adventure in the best way as possible. And that for me was an important point. And I think just the choice of Red Bulls was because the playing style, the way they work, the nice, the family they have, all these things, they really inspired me. And I needed a new challenge. And my 24 is not old, but it's also not young anymore. So I wanted a new challenge in my life, in my career. And a challenge overseas, why not? I think it's not the easiest one, but I will never take the easiest path in my life. So I think all of these things, they gave me they made me make my decision, let's say.
Did you consult with anybody? Did you have like sources that you could go to? I know that you and Hernan Losada overlapped for just a little while there at Bearshot. Is there somebody you called and said, hey, I have this offer, I'm thinking about Red Bulls, what can you tell me about the league?
No, not actually. I had some friends friends that played with me in my team, and they have then again friends that play in MLS or have played there. So I got to hear some of the experiences, and I also followed a little bit the MLS since like Pozzuolo, for example, when I played in Genk with him, he went to MLS. So since then, it's a little bit stuck in my mind. So I followed the league a little bit, and just also the playing style, it's totally different than in Europe. It's, I think, more attractive, more attacking kind of way. And I think, that's something I like also. I love to attack, to score goals, and to help the team in that way. And that was one of the main things also for my decision. And I didn't hear too much negative stories about the league and about experience from other players. So yeah, that's why a little bit I wanted to see it myself and get me this challenge.
Pasuelo, a legend in this league. He started like yourself, just scoring goals immediately off the bat. We know him as a player. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. We see the goal this weekend. We've obviously seen you for years in Europe, but tell fans what to expect from you, how you like to play, where you like to be set up.
Oh, I think in a few words, I'm just, I'm a guy who likes to score goals, help the team not only with scoring goals, but also in putting pressure and being as energetic as possible. I like to make my runs in the depth of the defenders, and I'm not the guy who will do the most spectacular things on the pitch, so you won't see me dribble past three defenders. I'm a very let's say, realistic guy. I have my goals, and I will work for it as hard as possible. And yeah, just be as effective as it can be as a striker. And that's a little bit my main characteristics, let's say.
And you don't mind pressing.
Yeah, Gerhard is like, what's that?
You said that a couple times.
Yes. He's down to defend? Oh, okay. Yeah, let's sign this guy.
Yeah, no, indeed. And I also know that that's one of my jobs. I'm not a lazy striker, I would say. I love to run and have a lot of high intensity movements in my game. I'm also not the biggest, so I need to be quick and let the defenders move. So that's a little bit my playing style. And I think besides being on the pitch, I'm just a really relaxed and humble guy. Not too crazy about myself, about things. I think the people in my family and friends, they can approve that.
I heard you say you're different. How are you different? Like you said that earlier, and I'm just curious. It just stuck in my mind.
I don't know. It's difficult to say about myself, but most of the times I hear like people saying that I'm different. I don't know in what ways, but like I don't know what the picture is in the USA, but like in Europe we have kind of the picture of a football player. Most of them, they're like these high. They love themselves. They
have egotistical.
Like, yeah, a little bit, and like these, a lot of brand clothing and all these. I don't know. I'm not really into that. That's why I said I'm also a humble guy, and I know also where I came from. I worked a lot to achieve what I'm achieving right now, and for me, I want to achieve more. So I'm not at that point where I can say, look, I've made it and I'm going to enjoy my life right now. So I try to enjoy and work as hard as possible to keep improving.
Would you say you're more of a lone striker type, or do you like having a partner?
No, I prefer to have a partner, I think. Like I said, I'm not the biggest one, not the tallest one. So I love when I have a striker next to me who can maybe attract the defenders, keep the ball and help the team in that way. And I would love then to use his space in the back of the defense that he's creating for me as well. I think, that's my preferred way. But of course in the last years I played on the wing, I played like alone as a striker. So it's, I can play multiple positions, but, my preferred one is with two strikers. Yes.
One of the big personalities in Major League Soccer is Gerhard Struber. He's been sort of the face of the New York Red Bulls the last few years. What was the process in getting to know him? Like, what's your impressions of him now working under him in training?
I love him. I think he's very passionate about the game. That fits also in my view of the game. He loves to put a lot of energy and work rate in the game. And I love that. And I think not only, let's say, soccer-wise or tactical-wise, also besides being on the pitch, it's a very nice guy, very respectful, and also he knows to have a good balance between when we need to be serious on the pitch and when we can have a laugh and make some jokes. So I think it's a good combination. It's a good basic for results.
What's the best moment of your career so far, Tante? Because I was just doing the research and leading up to this, and you know, you're saying that I have more to come for me, but already some incredible stories have sort of happened within your past, whether it be promotion with Union after many, many years, I mean, decades below the first division. When you get to the first division and then have these huge matches against Anderlecht and Standard Liège, you get called up for Belgium. What's like the most quote-unquote beautiful moment for you of your career so far? What do you cherish the most?
Yeah, it's a difficult question actually, because indeed I have a lot of beautiful things that haven't in the past years. But I would say like getting called up for the national team, I think every young player dreams to play for his country, and to be able to experience that is one of the most beautiful things. And it was not only a friendly, it was a qualification game for the World Cup, and even get some minutes in. It's it was an unbelievable moment, actually. And I think that's for sure my number one. But I played a World Cup with the youth teams of Belgium. I got promoted and became champion with Union. A lot of things that went great, but indeed, like I said, I want more. The taste of victory or the taste of success is a thing I love, and I want to work as hard as possible for it to taste even more of that success.
I assume being on Extra Time and doing this interview is on that list as well, right?
I saw you. He's been on a lot of podcasts. Yeah, check mark.
With a lot of Belgian legends in Major League Soccer, by the way. You'll get to hang out with Benteke soon. Let's talk, though, about this weekend. You guys have Charlotte coming up. You get your first win. What is sort of the expectation for that matchup? What you guys are focusing on, and where are you at in terms of how many minutes you can play and what the process is to get you to full speed?
For myself, I think I'm feeling better and better every week, and it's difficult for me to put a certain game or a certain moment that I can finally start a game, for example, or get some more minutes in. It's a process that we have to see each day, and in combination with the medical staff and the coaching staff, we're busy with that every day again. And I think I'm feeling ready to play more and more minutes. So I hope it will not take too long anymore to get my first start in MLS. But it's also a choice from the coach, from Gerard. So we will see about that in the following weeks, I think. And we're now, indeed busy working on Charlotte. It's a tough opponent. They love to have the ball. They love to make some combination play. But I think we look most of the time to ourselves, and we have a very powerful team, a lot of talent in it. And I think with the pressure we can put on the field. And I think with the hunger and the maybe the confidence that we have right now after the last game, we have to be able to beat them even at their home. That's our ambition, but we also know their qualities, and it will be for sure a tough match. But I think if everybody's on this level and can perform, then we have a good chance.
All right, Dante. Thanks for your time, man. Good luck with everything. We hope to see that celebration many times more. And then we'll check back with you later in the season, see if you feel comfortable sharing. But in the meantime, we have a cliffhanger from Dante. Thanks so much for your time, man.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Big thank you to Dante for joining us. We'll see how he does this weekend. Maybe get a start. TBD, but he's enjoying New Jersey so far. And just a quick path ride into New York City. Paul E. hit us up. With the amount of knowledge you all have about each and every game, I have to ask, do you have all 14 screens on at the same time? I wish I could watch all of the games every week. How do you do it, Dave?
I watch a lot of games later. So I kind of am cycling through and trying to take as much in as I can live on Saturday night, but it's tough with so many games. So I'll watch first half of a 7:30, first half probably then of an 8:30, and then sort of decide, do I move in back to a 7:30? Do I watch the second half? And then that those late games have been pretty good because they've kind of been standalone. Plus, this week we had an early game. Some weeks we have Sundays, and then pretty much spend Sundays watching games on replay that happened already.
Isn't there a 360 show? There's a show for this now.
Yeah, but then you just get. I love the show, and I'm watching the show at the studio. So it's hard for me too because I'm doing pregame shows, and I do like five, so one every hour. So I'm telling them you need to put the game on for me in the studio before we tape so I can turn around and watch. Then I'm just trying to upload as much information as I can on that night of, try to find one or two games to focus on in each given window, and then just like Dave, go back and do it, and then just text people, check Twitter, look at stats. I use some of the tools that we have on the back end to where I can say, okay, it looks like this person's performing XYZ. I'm going to go watch every shot that Jeremy Obobese took in this match or every touch that he had in the final third, just to try to acquire some information about stuff that I know I'm going to have to talk about. And yet then you got to go back on, you know, while you're building rundowns on a Monday for this show and have a game going on. You just kind of have to have it in the background. And, you know, my kids will scream at me, oh, we want our shows. We want our shows. And you'll get your shows. But
I'm just waiting for you to do a pregame show of one of the matches I'm actually calling. I keep waiting for the tee up from.
I should. Sometime soon. Sometime soon.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, going back and watching is great. That helps a lot. I think also going and texting other former players that are calling games, getting a sense of things. Weeby, you and I have been shooting some texts back and forth. But yeah, there's nothing to replicate just actually sitting down and watching the match. But that's been a lot easier, I think, than at any time, which has been super useful for me, for sure, prepping for these ones.
Paul E. also corrects us on our pronunciation of Toronto. He says, the recents say it Toronto? And
Toronto, I think, is the one I hear most often, which is like
Toronto.
Just take out the second T.
Toronto, but he has it as or Toronto.
Yeah, I Toronto? Think that this is a mistake in this is not the phonetic alphabet that's being used here.
I think there's a ch somewhere too. Toronto, heard that before. I could be wrong, but maybe in certain parts of.
Kalen, aren't you from Saskatchewan? No, that's the other Kalen.
Yeah, wrong Kalen. Yeah, yeah. And on that note, as Anders absolutely screams
USMNT, 20 minutes now, Florian Balligan.
You got it? Yeah. He spotted in Orlando.
Whoa!
Whoa! Wow. Backs out of England youth.
Where in Orlando?
Can't tell you what kind of bar that is that he's in front of. He's chasing something. Maybe a cap for the USMNT. TBD.
I like
hopefully
that. I like the sound of that.
Thierry Henry. We could just keep going here. Anyway, that's it for us. We will be back on Monday to break it all down in match day 5. You know to get us extratimeandmlsoccer.com or on Twitter every Monday and Wednesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Adios.